Which one's yours, Terry? Oh, awesome. All right, you're all set. Hey, we're glad that you're here today. Happy New Year early, right? Look like everybody forgot to invite your friend, though. It's okay. It's all right. So this is December 31st, right? And what I wanted to do, when I hit December 31st, or just the last of the year, I'm always usually reflecting on the year, and both professionally thinking about, okay, what happened in the life of the church this year, so what might we do differently next year? And then personally, also just thinking about what happened during the course of the year, and what does Andy need to do differently to see more of Jesus and less of Andy, right, in the mirror. And so as I reflect, I can't help but reflect on you, because you're my church family, and I love you, and I get to be, being the senior minister, I get to be privy to more stories than maybe you get to, okay, because I get to talk with a lot of people, and I get, you know, kind of intertwined into lots of different lives. And so what I thought we would do today, just, and this is very different, and I know some of you don't have bulletins, and you're just wigging out right now, aren't you? Like, what am I supposed to read while Andy's preaching today? We gave Emily the week off, so there's no bulletins today. But what I wanted to do, I wanted you to hear some stories. Okay, I wanted you to hear some stories from some folks, and some different things that happened in people's lives this year. And so one of them, with Mary Ellen here, is going to be live. Okay, and two are going to be videoed. One because Buck Miller was in the UP this weekend. And another one with the Bitten Benders, their family wasn't going to be able to be here both services. And so we filmed theirs as well. So you'll get to be a little bit of movie day today. But I just wanted you to hear these stories because I think they're inspiring. They're encouraging. They're about faith. And I just wanted you to be able to experience the stories that some folks have experienced this year. And that'll be the sermon for the day. All right. Just hearing people's stories. But this is why. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, all right, we had to throw some Bible in here. My son reminded me. I was going to do this anyway, though. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. I was leading a kind of like we do Discover KCC class at our last church. And when I was reading this passage of scripture, I thought, wow, I have got to incorporate that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, you can look it up for yourself. It says this: "You are our letter of recommendation." And that just hit me like a ton of bricks the first time I read that, or the first time I slowed down when reading it. Because I thought, you know what? When you and I step outside of this church, we are the letter of recommendation for Jesus to the world. How we live our life, what we say, what we do, if we say what we're going to do, all those things are a reflection, if we're Christians, of who Jesus is. That's how people are going to read and understand who Jesus is, by seeing us and hearing us. And so this is what these stories are today. They're letters of recommendation of Jesus, so that the world around us might come to know that there is a Jesus, and he's got a plan for them as well. All right. So with that being said, this is Mary Ellen Wallace. Say hello, Mary Ann. Mary Ellen. I said Mary Ann. There you go. And Mary Ellen had an experience this year, and I just want to lead them through that, and we'll just kind of go where it goes. Okay. This is unscripted, right? But we've talked, but not scripted. All right. So first of all, share with everybody what happened this year that you were wrestling with.
My mom passed.
Okay, you got to hold that mic like red.
My mom passed this summer.
Okay, and she was how old?
She was 84.
84 years old. All right. Now, you had told me a couple of weeks ago all the different things that she was involved with community. Can you share that with the folks just real quickly, just some things she was involved with?
My mom was a very good person, and she helped hundreds of people in her lifetime, everything from helping a neighbor to read to being serving on the hospital board for years and years and years, and seeing the development and the growth of our hospital and the dialysis center. I mean, there's just countless of things that my mom did for the community and for the people of Kalkaska.
Okay. So here's the big one. What did mom not have that really was difficult for you?
Well, my mom was the most intelligent person that I've ever known. If she didn't have anything to read, she would read the encyclopedia in the dictionary. But being as intelligent as she was, she refused to acknowledge Christ as the Son of God. And I believe in God, I believe in Christ, and I believe in heaven. And if there's a heaven, there's a hell. And that's the part that just tore me up.
So what was the obvious thing that you had to wrestle with there?
It was awful. I just can't explain when the thoughts of a loved one being in hell. When we were over at Munson, And we knew Mom wasn't coming home. I mean, and I understand death. And her body was done. I mean, she just couldn't do anymore. And I couldn't think of what to pray. And I sat there for hours holding her hand. And all I could do was just pray, God have mercy on her soul. It was almost like a chant. People would come and go. And I would just go back to, God have mercy on her soul. God have mercy on her soul. I just didn't know what else to do.
So what has helped you kind of get through that? Where are you now emotionally with kind of understanding where things are?
I cried for 2 days, you know, with just the thoughts of my mom and how it was just more than I could bear. And finally, the night before her funeral, I went to bed and I just said, God, I can't do this anymore. I know that you're a loving, forgiving God. I said, I know you are just. And I said, you just have to take this burden from me. I can't do that. And I just said, I know that you will do what is right. And I went to sleep. And Andy, I can't explain to you. I woke up the next morning, and it was like I could breathe. It was like I could take a breath in. And it was just like that weight was just lifted, that fear and that dread was gone. And it was like, oh my gosh, why did it take me 2 days, you know, to pray, to ask him for help? And he did. He just took that burden, and it just went away. Do I know where my mom is today? I don't know. But I do know that we have a loving and a just God, and he will do what is right.
There's a, and I know this sounds like a story, like, thanks, Andy, for starting us out in such an uplifting way. This is why I wanted Mary Ellen to share. I'm confident that every one of us knows someone that passed from this life, and we're pretty sure they didn't have a relationship with Jesus. And there's a point where you have to wrestle with that to say, what do I do from here? How do I feel? What am I supposed to feel that my loved one is probably not going to be with me in eternity, which is what I want? And there's a passage in Luke chapter 16. There's a parable that Jesus tells about the rich man and Lazarus. And I won't share the whole parable with you. But if you read that parable, this is what I come away with. Our loved ones that pass away without knowing Jesus, without having a relationship with God, a reconciled relationship with God, even their desire is that those that have not passed from this life yet will come to know. Even those that have passed without that relationship, they don't want us feeling the same thing that they are now. They want us to come to know that saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Which to me tells us that at any funeral that we go to where we're not confident that that person is going to be with Jesus, to honor them best, to honor them most, is to know Jesus and to grow to love him. Because that's what they want for us. They don't want us to be where they ended up or where they are. And so that's why I wanted to share that story with you. I know that Rick came to me shortly after your mom died, and he's like, man, you need to pray for my wife. And we were praying for you. And when you came and shared with me that you had kind of gotten over the hump, so to speak, and were just, all right, I'm at peace with this because God's in control. He's a good and he's a just God. He's a faithful God. It just really, it warmed my soul. And I hope that everyone else can feel that as well, that God is faithful and he'll give us the peace that we need.
And don't wait for 2 days when something is so heavy on your heart. It's just like, go to him immediately. And it was just, I can't believe the difference from when I went to bed and when I woke up. I mean, he just took it. He just, and I'm good with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's wanting us to lay our burdens on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Let me pray for Mary Ellen. And then what I've asked each of the folks that we're interviewing is for a favorite song. And so the worship team stuck around up here, and so they're going to sing a couple of songs that you've requested, and then we'll move on with our service. So let me pray for Mary Ellen. Father, I thank you for Mary Ellen, and Lord, I'm sorry that she had to experience what she did this year, because it's all because of Genesis chapter 3. When sin came in the world, death came into the world, and because of that, we all have to wrestle and deal with that someday, either our family member or ourselves. And Lord, it's very difficult when a family member who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus passes from this life, because those of us that know the Bible. We know what that means. And so I thank you for giving Mary Ellen peace. I thank you for helping her through the mourning process. And Lord, I thank you for honoring her mother by living her life for you, knowing that that's what her mom would want best for her now, Lord. It's in Jesus' name I pray and thank you. Amen.